We're starting a new series after Galatians, spending 7 months in Galatians. I thought about moving into the prison epistles, but as I was reading Matthew last couple of weeks, I decided to go into this sermon by Jesus. It's known as the Olivet Discourse or Sermon on the Mountain of Olives. And the theme and the content of it is about the end. Okay? For those of you who are joining for the first time, you're in for a treat, actually. And I really do mean it. And I was thinking about how this teaching about the end times or the end is so fitting with the Galatians. And you'll know what I mean. And I want to move in slowly because some of you did not know that this is what the topic was, and I don't want you to be in shock. So I want to move in slowly, intentionally. And the title of the message for our first message, we will be spending, by the way, about 6 to 8 weeks, not too long. Chapter 24 is pretty long, but we'll rather go quickly. Chapter 25 is three parables, parable of the virgins, five wise and five foolish, and parable of the talents and parable of the sheep and the goat. Okay, great parables. I love those chapters, and I encourage you to read 10 times before next Sunday. 10 times. And I really mean it. Okay, so let me begin. The title of the message for today is Then the End Will Come. Then the end will come. And my first question is, thought is, when is that? That's exactly what the disciples were asking. When is that? Don't you want to know? Right? The word then is an adverb, and adverb that describes the verb. And obviously the verb is coming. In other words, the coming of the end is then, after then. Okay? So, very interesting, if you think about it. So, when will the end will come? Second, sub-question is, ending what? What is ending? Right? The topic of this chapter is end of human history. I don't know whether you knew, Scripture speaks about the beginning and the end very, very clearly. There is no other book like that. There is no other book deals with such topic, with such clarity, such repetition, and such exclusivity. Exclusivity. No one could handle things like this. But Scripture, rather bluntly, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. He's not asking your opinion. He's not asking your acceptance. He's not asking. The Scripture is not saying this apologetically. It just states it. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And Scripture speaks about the end rather extensively throughout the Scripture. Book of Daniels and Book of Revelations. Revelation. Okay? And known as Revelations, Revelatory, or Apocalyptic. Speaks about the future, end times, repeatedly, clearly, exclusively, and very, very bluntly. Okay? And third question is, who's saying this? Who could possibly say things like that? You know, I could be saying, oh, you know what, by the way, in a month something will happen. I could say that. I could say whatever what I want to say, which could come true, or probably not going to come true. But the word that is written in these two chapters, who's saying this? Son of God or God himself. If you believe in inerrancy of the Scripture, well, you don't even have to go that fancy. Jesus kind of says this way, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In other words, what he wrote it here, he put his name on it. In other words, if this doesn't come true, you do not have to believe. It's a sham. Does that make sense? And the final question, the real question that I was struggling with, hopefully we will deal with it at the end, is this question. If there is such teaching with such details and exclusivity of the Bible and Christianity, what do you do with it? What do you do with that? How do you handle it? Okay, so that as an introduction, let me begin. Matthew 24 and 25, which is toward the end of Jesus' ministry, and Matthew is made up of chapter 28 chapters. So 24 and 25 is toward the end where Jesus and his disciples in Jerusalem, ready to go to the cross for the Passover, and in about a couple days, he's going to the cross. And he's preaching this from the Mountain of Olives. And I had a chance to go to Jerusalem for one day, just one day. I would like to go back. But, you know, we were in Jordan and we crossed the border and we went to Jerusalem and Mountain of Olives, where Gethsemane is, right next to Jerusalem and Calvary, right there. Okay? So you could literally see the city of Jerusalem, city of David, and Jerusalem temple. And as they are watching this, Jesus is answering, really answering the questions the disciples asked, which transpired this particular sermon. Speaks about the end or the end of the ages. So good. You know, Bible is unique in a sense that it speaks about the beginning at the end. Don't you want to know your destiny and your origin? Don't you want to know that? We all know that. We intuitively want to know that. We got to know that. Otherwise, life is all jumbled up, a mess. But Bible speaks about the beginning and the end very clearly, okay? Exclusively and extensively. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. He's not asking your opinion. He's not asking your, agreement. No. He doesn't need any agreement. Scripture says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. Rather bluntly, unapologetically, states the beginning of all things and creations. Not only that, Bible speaks about Bible and or Christianity speaks about the end rather extensively and repeatedly throughout the Bible. Book of Daniels, okay? Book of Revelation, Thessalonians, Corinthians, and epistles, but most strikingly, the Gospels. The Gospels. Jesus himself, out of his own mouth, he speaks about the future and the end very, very clearly. Isn't that interesting? Now, before we go any further, I have a question for you. I want us to think. Here's my question. I want us to pause and think about a couple of things. Number one, who could possibly do that? How could possibly Jesus predict and prophesize the future and the end in such clarity and detail? How can he do that? Who could do that? Who could do that and get away with it? Who could possibly say things like that and okay with that for the last 2,000 years? Think about it, people. The second question is, you know, I was thinking, is that okay? Is that necessary? Is that okay? He speaks about the signs of the end before the actual end time happens. You know, he talks about his bodily return, resurrected Christ returning with the legions of angels in such a way that it will no one will make mistake about it. In other words, just like the lightning is from the west, the east will see. In other words, the whole world will see it at once. He speaks about his return like that. He speaks about the curtain like that. I mean, the end like that, curtain. End like that. With such power and glory, you will not have to miss, you will not miss it, in other words. Does that make sense? And my question to you is that okay to do? If that doesn't happen, Jesus is such a liar and greatest scam in history, and definitely not trustworthy, and Christianity is a garbage. Do you agree? In other words, I was thinking, if the scripture speaks about the future and the end like this, you cannot partially take it. It is all or nothing. I hope this is logical to you. You cannot fool yourself. I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that, and I'll reject the rest. You do not have luxury to do that. You cannot. You do not. Okay? The entire Bible, Jesus himself, is not reliable, not trustworthy. Therefore, he's a phony and the biggest scam, most ridiculous scam of all time, if this is not true. But Jesus put all of his chips on it. Heaven and earth will fade away, but my words will never fade away. I hope you get the message, okay? Personal guarantee. Let's look at the text. Chapter 24, Jesus is in Jerusalem with his disciples, and his last Passover celebration, last Passover, to be crucified as a Lamb of God. Just a couple days before his own death, he would not say anything that's ridiculous. Probably the most meaningful things. Here's what happens, okay? Jesus left the temple, that's Jerusalem temple, which was the iconic, magnificent building. Those of you who've been to Jerusalem know what I'm talking about. It's so big. To the ancient people 2,000 years ago, that's like God's presence. That represented God's presence, and this is where you go to meet God. This is where the dwelling of God is, which is the iconic, symbolic building of the entire Old Testament Judaism, okay, which was mistaken at the time. Jesus left the temple. Isn't that a meaningful statement? He left the temple for good now. Right? He left the temple and was going away. When his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, "Lord, look at this. Look at this." But he answered them something very intriguing. "You see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." In other words, it'll be a completely, completely destroyed, right? That's a prediction. Now, as he sat on the Mountain of Olives, the disciples came to him and privately saying two questions. Okay, two questions I highlighted to them. The first question is, "Lord, tell us, when will these things be?" When is the time of the end? The when question, okay? The second question is, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So there are two questions. When is it? So what are the signs? Okay, and the rest of them is Jesus' answer to those two questions, which begins the Sermon on the Mount proper. Verse 4. Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. As you will hear the wars and the rumors of wars, see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Okay? Verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Okay, that's today's text. Giving you a little bit of background, Jesus and his disciples in Jerusalem. Could you picture that? They are in the Mountain of Olives, looking down the city of Jerusalem, city of David, and the Jerusalem temple. And basically, you know, the disciples were asking two very, very important questions. Number one, when is it? Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know? Right? Second question is, what will be the sign? Very good question, and Jesus answers both of them very, very clearly, actually. Okay? The answer to the first question is very, very simple. When is it? And Jesus said, no one knows the day nor the hour. No one knows. Only the Father knows. Now think about that. Think about that. That's the way God wanted. He did not want you to know so that you will outsmart him. You will live whatever the kind of life you want to live, and the right before he comes and you repent and you become a Christian. He didn't want that to happen. Right? So the first question, answer to the first question, when will these things will be, is very, very simple. And he answers much later, and basically no one knows the hour, no one knows the day. But he does say, soon. Soon. Now think about it. He does say, I'm coming soon. I'm coming back soon. But no one knows the hour, no one knows the day. It'll be like the thief in the night. Thieves don't tell you when he's going to visit and steal your things away. He comes when you're least expected, quietly and suddenly. Okay? The second question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So today I want to talk about what are the signs before his return and before the end of the ages that Jesus has taught. Okay? For clarity, I want to give you a little bit of background. The disciples and the Jews at the time, they believe that, this is the general belief of the Jews, that Messiah is coming, and before his coming, there's going to be a terrible time, just like exactly what Jesus said. There's going to be famine and earthquakes. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be persecutions, bad times. They knew that. They believed that there was going to be a forerunner like John the Baptist. Elijah comes. Okay? So they knew that. But what they did not know is when Messiah comes, they believe that it'll be a political powerful kingdom like Davidic kingdom, and it's going to destroy all the nations around it. That's what they believed. They kind of missed out that Old Testament predicted that Jesus will come first as a suffering servant, and then he's returning again. That's what the scripture teaches. Jesus has already come 2,000 years ago. Messiah came, and he brought salvation to those who believe. He came to save, and he was resurrected, ascended, and he is coming back. And the day he comes back, scripture clearly says, will be the end of human history. That's when the curtain will come down. Suddenly, but surely. Okay? So there were some mistakes. So Jesus' disciples thought when the Messiah comes, when Jesus stands as a Messiah, all the nations will be destroyed. Roman army will be destroyed. And Jerusalem will be the central place of his new messianic kingdom. That's what they believed. But they totally missed the mystery of Christ and the church age. Christ came, he died, and then he started the church, and he's going to return for the church. Okay? So fall of Jerusalem was fulfilled only 30 years later, and he predicted that. You see all of these? Do you not? Truly, I say to you, there'll be not be one left here, one stone upon another, and they will be thrown down. Jesus predicted probably like 80-30, 30-33. 80-70, something horrible thing happened. Entire Roman army came and just annihilate the Jews, destroy the Jerusalem temple historically. And that was fulfilled. Okay? Fall of Jerusalem was fulfilled in about 30 years, but the coming and the return of Christ Jesus did not associate with it, but rather his return will be without warning, and it'll be in the future. See, he clearly says the day and the hour, no one knows. Could you think with me? Not even the Son, he said. That's a little bit intriguing, but Jesus said, not even the Son. No one knows the hour, but it'll be soon. If that is the case, what kind of life would promote that truth? What kind of life that truth will promote? If he's returning anytime, do you want to be prosperous in this world? Do you want to bring some justice in social setting? Do you want to bring some sort of equality here? Is that what you should strive for? If he's really returning anytime, and he's coming back soon. Now think with me, people. I want you to hear the tone of the general tone of his teaching. Okay? Jesus gives four, summed up into four signs, okay? Let me explain what he said here in the text with four signs of the end or his coming. The first sign is verse 4 and 5. Okay? As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, probably saying, when and what will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name and saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many to astray. The first sign before the Christ's return is there's going to be lots of false Christ and false teachers and false gospels. Many will fall away from Christ. But true Christians never fall away. If you think about it, during the pandemic, 30% of the people left the church already. Do you hear me? There's going to be a lot of false teachers, false prophets, false preachers, false gospel preaching, not only from the outside, from the inside. That's the first sign that Jesus gave. So Jesus telling his disciples, warning them, be aware, which means to watch carefully. Blepo, you need to watch carefully. Is that pastor preaching the gospel the apostles preached? That's why it is related to Galatian gospel. Is he preaching what Christ has preached, what the apostles has written down in the New Testament? Is that scriptural preaching, or is it some sort of like scripture plus kind of teaching? You have to be careful, okay? The second sign is verse 6. I'm sorry, before I move on to the second. So what will be the outcome of that first thing about the false teaching and things like that? And basically, Jesus said, many will fall away. Think about it, people. Many will be deceived. Many will fall away. If you don't have the truth, if you're not standing on the truth and walking with the spirit of truth, you'll have a great chance that you will fall away. Okay? That's what the scripture teaches. Second sign is verse 6. Verse 6 says, and you will hear the wars and the rumors of wars, and see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation and the kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. Two things. Number one, wars and rumors of wars. Does that resonate with you? Of nations and the kingdoms. China-Taiwan crises. Ukraine-Russian crisis. Hutu-Tutsi crises. North and South Korean crises. On top of that, there's going to be natural disasters. Earthquakes. And storms. Korea is expecting historic, hurricane tomorrow. Please pray for the country that the country has never experienced in history of Korea. They're expecting it tomorrow to land it on the island of Korea. You know, I don't know whether you remember, not too long ago there was a tsunami, which is about the earthquake under the ocean. It killed 150,000 people. The earthquake that happened in India, the Africa felt it. I don't know. I'm not trying to create some sort of unnecessary fear here. And pandemic for 2.5 years, killing 1 million people. I don't know. Okay? Jesus is basically saying the end is still not. It's just the beginning of the birth pain. Okay? There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. On top of that, there will be natural disasters in various places, famines and earthquakes, tsunamis and pandemic, and what next, right? But however, Jesus makes it very clear that the end is not yet. This is just the beginning of the birth pain, okay? Which is a very, very insightful word. What does that mean? The beginning of the birth pain, okay? He was talking about the signs of the end of the age and return. In other words, all these deception and apostasy. People fall away from churches by false teachers and false preachers and false churches and false gospels and false teachings and wars and rumors of wars and the famines and earthquakes and tsunamis and pandemics. That's just the beginning of the birth pain. What does birth pain represent? Birth pain does not happen throughout pregnancy. It happens what? It happens right before the birth. In other words, it signifies that it is very, very close to the birth, close to the end. It marks the coming of the baby, the birth. It's not throughout the pregnancy, but rather at the end, close to the birth. In fact, just before the birth. Okay? And those of you who have seen, experienced, you know, labor pain, know better than me, but, you know, I was next to my children's birth. And one thing I noticed that is that birth pain, as it gets close to actual birth, it becomes more frequent. From every 7 minutes to every 5 minutes to every 3 minutes. Not only that, it gets even more intensified. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay, it's the beginning of the birth pain. But one thing you could for sure is it's going to be painful for Christians. It's going to be painful for Christians. That's the second sign. The third sign of his return and the end is a little bit long from verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to the tribulation. Who's you? True believers and followers of Christ. They will deliver you up to tribulations and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And as I was reading, I could not help but to remember what Jesus said in John chapter 16. He clearly stated that. Do you remember that? Right? Christians will be handed over to tribulation and put to death. And hated by all nations for my name's sake. And the outcome is then many will fall away, betraying one another, hating one another. And in many false prophets, what do prophets do? They preach the word of God. So probably the contemporary equivalent would be false preachers. They're false preachers. They're not outside of the church. They're inside the church. Preaching false gospels, false truth. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Can I ask you, do you love the Lord? Do you love the church? Do you love the lost? This is what Jesus predicted or prophesied 2,000 years ago before the end, before the actual birth of the end. Okay? Third sign will be the suffering and persecution of true believers. They will be delivered up to tribulation, put to death, And they'll be hated by all nations, worldwide hatred of Christians because of my name. Their hatred is toward Christ himself. And the outcome will be many will fall away. And there will be many, many false believers. False Christians will fall away. True Christians could never fall away. Okay? They'll betray one another, hate one another. And many false prophets and many false teachers will rise and false gospel will be taught in the latter days before Christ returns. And Christians will not love the law of God. If you're a true Christian, you will love the law. Because of the lawlessness, your love will grow cold, Jesus predicted. Fourth and last sign of the end of the age. Among all these things, while all of these things is happening, something amazing is happening. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Isn't that amazing? Right? It seems like the hell broke loose. Right? Wars, natural disasters, persecutions, horrible time. And yet the gospel never stops going forward until all nations and all people will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pretty amazing. And then, which is a chronological end, adverb that gives is a time indicator, and then the end will come. This is what Jesus has taught. If you look at that statement, as I think about this statement, this is very, very good. Bible clearly says, and then the end will come. In other words, there is some signs that we could look into and be aware. Blepo. Watch carefully. Not be naive so that you will be swept away by false truth, false gospel, false teachings, and things like that. There are signs. And the second thing you need to see is, without then, the end will come. That's the word of the Lord, people. Okay? Today's kind of like an introduction of like Olivet Discourse and Jesus' teaching about the end times or the end. Let me give you a couple of more verses to help you, okay? Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death. This is what Jesus said. Now, our family is so important. Absolutely. But Jesus predicts that brother will deliver brother over to death because of Christ. Parents will hand over their children. Children, their parents. And here's my question. Does your family member really know the Lord? Or else this might be the case. It really might be the case. He's a true believer. Take him away. It might happen, people. It sounds like that's what's happening here, right? And have them put to death. Another verse that I wanted to share, chapter 24, this particular chapter, verse 21 says, for then there will be a great tribulation. It's going to be a tribulation, but it's going to be a great tribulation, something greater than pandemic, something greater than current financial situation. People think this is horrible times. What is so horrible about right now? There's going to be a great tribulation such as has not been from the beginning of the time until now, no, and never will be, and it's coming before the end. Do you hear me, brothers and sisters? But here's Jesus' remark. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But those who endure to the end will be saved. I don't know what goes through your mind. I don't think salvation is like gimme thing. It's all by grace. We know that. It's God's religion. It's the grace of God. It's Christ Himself. It's faith alone. It's by the Spirit of living God. But at the same time, Jesus teaches, one who endures to the end will be saved. It's beyond your wife's faith, your church's faith, what sermons you listen to. Just because you listen to Paul Washer doesn't make you Paul Washer. I just want to keep reminding you that. You go to a certain church, just because you go to a good church doesn't make you that church. Okay. So I was thinking, who could endure and persevere such suffering and persecution? False teachers and preachers and natural disasters, persecutions, horrible time. Who could endure that? Oh man, this is such a hard teaching. Right? Who could possibly endure this? Who could possibly, you know, hold and persevere? And I was reading John chapter 10. This is what Jesus said. Listen carefully. But you do not believe because you are not mine. Those who does not belong to Christ will never listen. Even if I preach this, you are not going to listen if you don't belong to Him. You're just going to laugh about it. As soon as you walk out, it's not going to affect you. But my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. Okay? I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand, Jesus is saying. No one will be snatched them out of my hand. My Father, Jesus is saying, who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you get it? This is true because this is what Jesus is saying. But Jesus is saying at the same time, for true believers, you are in the hand of Christ and hand of God, and no one will be able to snatch them out of their hand. Do you see this? So the final thought is this, as we begin this whole chapter, whole sermon, is my final question to all of you, which is what I asked in the beginning. So what do you do with teachings like this? What do you do with that? Christians, so what do you do with teachings like this? You have to do something, right? What are you going to do with this? And I was really thinking about it. And there's something, one thing that you cannot do. There's one thing you cannot do. You cannot take it 70% and reject 30%. You cannot be 70-30% Christian. Certainly not 30% and 70% Christian. Do you agree? Am I being fair to you? When you read chapter like this, can you take it partially? Here's my question I ask you to think about. Can prosperity gospel fit into this? If not, that's a false gospel. Can social gospel fit into this? If not, that's a false gospel of the false teachers. And many will fall away because of those. No, seriously, I'm preaching to the church of God. Can prosperity gospel fit into this teaching of Jesus? If Jesus is really coming back when no one is expecting, but soon, how do you fit in prosperity into that? How do you fit in making society a better place to live into that? One thing you cannot do is you cannot believe partially, 70-30% Christian. That's why I've been saying 70-30, 30-70%, same category. There's no such thing. It has to be, if you read and if you are fair to the text, all or nothing. Do you agree? Jesus placed, he has put and he has placed all of his chips in. You know what he said? Heaven and earth will fade away, but my words will never fade away. And the end will come. Therefore, blepo, people, watch carefully. When you see these signs, these are the signs of the beginning of the birth pain. In other words, birth is near. Birth is near. He put all of his chips in. And yet we take it 30-70%? Or 70-30%? My hunch is you will never make it, people. You are not going to make it. Scripture is very, very clear. Very, very clear. As we begin this whole teaching on the coming of Christ, I want you to think about, what do you do with this, with teachings like this? You have to deal with it. Let's pray.